But this morning, we're in Revelation chapter 20, if you want to turn there. So just to quickly give you kind of a rundown of Revelation, how it's laid out. The first chapter, of course, is the introduction of Jesus Christ as God. Chapters 2 and 3 are the letters to the churches. So those are two chapters that we really need to take heed to as God's children in the churches. And then chapters 4 and 5, we see Christians in heaven with the Lord around the throne of God. Then in chapter 6 through chapter 18, the biggest chunk of Revelation covers just a 7-year period of time called the tribulation period. And it details all of the things that will happen during that time here on earth. Chapter 19, we see the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, physically to return to the earth with his saints. And then when we get here to chapter 20, we find the kingdom that Jesus will set up that we saw as we walked through Isaiah, as we walked through Jeremiah, God prophesying about the kingdom that he had promised to Israel for many centuries will finally be a reality, will come to fruition when the King of Kings returns and sets it up. And that's where we find ourselves here in Revelation chapter 20. So we're going to look at the first 10 verses together. The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So a phrase that you saw come up 6 times in this passage is the phrase, 1,000 years. So that's our title this morning, 1,000 years. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would speak to us from your precious and powerful word, that it would be an encouragement, Lord, to your children and a warning to those who may not know yet that they're saved. But Lord, I pray that it would truly motivate us to prepare, to serve, to be faithful, to watch as we look forward to this time with you here on earth. So, Lord, speak to us from your word this morning. We give you this service. May Jesus be magnified in it. And it's in his name that we ask these things. Amen. So, again, we see this phrase, 1,000 years, 6 times in this passage. We'll talk about that 6 in a little while. But what we find is for 1,000-year period on earth, the devil will be bound. Imagine that. He's currently the god of this world. He's currently the prince of the power of the air. He currently runs things here on earth. God allows this to be so, but it is so. But for 1,000 years, as we see, he will be bound. He will no longer be the god of this world. He will not be running things on this earth. And that's one of the reasons why the kingdom will be so wonderful. Not only because it's being run by Jesus Christ, but because the devil will be bound. And we see in this passage here, verse 2, at least 4 of his names, and we learn a lot about of him through his names. We see the name Dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. He has other names. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's called Lucifer, the prince of the devils, the prince of the power of the air, the tempter, the wicked one. But this is the one that fell from heaven, the anointed cherub. And God has allowed him to, for a short time of human history, be the God of this world. But for 1,000 years, he'll be bound. The Bible says there in verse 3, and he will be cast into the bottomless pit, and he'll be shut up, and a seal will be set upon him, and he will deceive the nations no more. Another one of his names is the deceiver. And for 1,000 years, there will be no deception from the devil. Imagine that. After the 1,000 years, he'll be loosed for a little season, as we see in verse 3. But currently, he is doing all he can to deceive. And he will especially, if you go to Matthew 24:24, he will especially be the deceiver during that 7-year period that we talked about, which is covered in Revelation 6 through 18. He will be deceiving the nations more than ever, because he will be seated as the Antichrist in the throne of, on the throne of God in Jerusalem, and people will believe that he is God, and they will worship him as God. And one of the ways that he will deceive during the tribulation period is, believe it or not, through miracles. Notice Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. There's that same word, deceive. The devil will be deceiving people through signs and wonders. He will be working miracles during the tribulation to prove to the world that he is God. And the world will be worshiping the devil, thinking that they're worshiping God. There will be one government. There will be one church. Basically what the world's been trying for a long time. The devil will get it for just a short time, 7 years. But Satan is the deceiver. Go to 2 Corinthians 11:14 and we'll see it again. And during this time that we call the church age, Satan is deceiving God's people. He's been deceiving since the Garden of Eden, when he said to Eve, "Yea, hast God said?" And when he questioned what God had said about the tree of life. But notice 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." The devil doesn't go around saying, "I'm the devil, I'm the devil. Please worship me." No, he appears as the good guy, as an angel of light. And this will be even more so during the tribulation. But back to our passage, Revelation, the good news is that if you're a born-again Christian, you get to be there with Jesus Christ. Verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." That's us. How do we know that? Because the Bible says in Jude 14, "The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." And if you read in Revelation 19, where Jesus returns on a white horse with a two-edged sword, the Bible says the saints return with him. And so when he takes us from this earth, we get to be with him in heaven. We read about that in Revelations 4 and 5. And then for the 7-year period, God judges the earth. We won't be here for that, hallelujah, because we've not been appointed under wrath. But then at the end of that, Jesus returns here in Revelation 19. We return with him, and we get to rule and reign with him. Notice it says judgment was given unto them. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll see God mentioning this judgment. Now, I'll admit there's a part of this passage here in 1 Corinthians 6 I don't completely understand. I can't wait to ask God about it. And it says that we even get to judge angels. I don't know how that works or when that's going to take place, but that's what it says, 1 Corinthians 6:2. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" So for 1,000 years, we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ here on the earth. It goes on to say, "And if the world should be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Verse 3, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels?" How much more things that pertain to this life. And so as we see there in Revelation 20, verse 4, we're given thrones. And judgment will be given unto us. And as it says in Revelation 1, turn over there quickly, Revelation 1, verse 5, We get to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and," Revelation 1, 6, "hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Kings and priests. Imagine that. Wicked sinners get to be kings and priests and rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:10, while you're in Revelation, look over there. Again, we see these 24 elders representative of the church because they've been redeemed. They have their robes of righteousness. And it says there in Revelation 5:10, "And he hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." This is right after we go to heaven. We get our rewards through the judgment seat of Christ. God begins the tribulation down here. So back to our passage in verse 4. Not only do we get to rule and reign with Christ, but so do those who die for Christ during the tribulation. There's a misunderstanding among a lot of Christians. They think, oh, there's not going to be many people saved during tribulation. Actually, the opposite is true. The Bible says multitudes will be saved during the tribulation. But most who get saved also get martyred. There will be 144,000 Jewish men, 12,000 from each tribe, who will have the special gift from God and protection from God, and they'll be preaching the gospel throughout the whole earth. And multitudes are going to get saved. But as soon as you get saved, you're the enemy. And once you do get saved, you're going to refuse to take the mark of the beast. And if you refuse to take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. You can't buy any food. And if you get caught, they cut your head off. How do we know this? Verse 4, "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so those who will be ruling and reign with Jesus will be all the saints from the beginning of human history right up through the tribulation period. All that have trusted Christ will be there with Christ to rule and reign. But there's this special group that says they will be beheaded. Notice it says, "for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God." Imagine having your head cut off just for witnessing for Jesus and for standing for God's word. That's what will happen. So verse 5, "The rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." Now, you've probably heard this saying before, but it's better to be born twice and only die once than to only be born once and die twice. Say, what are you talking about? Well, if you've been born again, that's your second birth. Amen? Your first birth was your physical birth. Your second birth is your spiritual birth. You only have to die physically. But you'll never die spiritually. When you die physically, you spend forever with the Lord. But if you don't have the second birth, if you only have the physical birth, and you die physically, you will also die spiritually forever. And God calls it the second death. He details it down in verse 14 of our passage. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Your name must be written in the book of life if you want to avoid the second death. And since Jesus is the life, and he's the way and the truth and the life, you must come through Christ to find eternal life. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." So the Bible says not only will be judging and reigning, but it says there in verse 6, "They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details of the kingdom. We did that when we went through the book of Isaiah. But I can just summarize for you, it's going to be a time of righteousness, a time of obedience, a time of holiness, a time of truth. But from a physical point of view, it will be a time of unified worship, absence of war, time of peace. The Prince of Peace will be ruling. There will be no more curse. So no blackberry thorns, no barberry thorns. Can you imagine? And the animals will be all vegetarians. Men will live longer. It'll be like it was in the Garden of Eden. There'll be one language, no sickness, perfect justice with Jesus as the ruler and with us as his helpers. So it will be an amazing, amazing time. If you want to see summaries about it, Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 65, just go to those two chapters, read them, and God details all the wonderful things about this kingdom that we're reading about, this thousand-year kingdom. Some people call it the millennial kingdom, millennial meaning a thousand. But it's a thousand years. Imagine that. You know, we talk about, oh, I'm 70, oh, he's 80, he's 85. A thousand years. We will be on this earth with Jesus as his helpers, as his co-rulers, as his priests. Imagine how wonderful that will be. And it'd be great if we could just stop there at verse 6 and say, that's it. We get to spend a thousand years with Jesus, and it's going to be a time of paradise, which it is, a time of everything will be wonderful, the earth will be great. There's just one little thing. Who are we going to rule over? Who are we going to reign over? And the answer to that is found in Matthew 24:25, where the people who survive the tribulation period, of course, 3/4 of the world will die during the tribulation period, but that 1/4 of the world that survives, some of them will be allowed to go on into the kingdom. And so they're still, like us, sinners. They go into the kingdom and they begin to multiply quite quickly because the lifespan of man is now long again. There's no sickness. There's no crime. So imagine how fast, over a thousand-year period, humanity will grow again. They will be able to travel to Jerusalem and see Jesus Christ in the flesh. But it will be a perfect government run by Jesus and us. And yet, I believe it's also God's opportunity to show to man how bad we really are. Because with no devil, no sickness, no crime, imagine the thing that we've been striving for in this world and can't seem to get, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We get to the end of the thousand years, and what happens? Verse 7, when it's expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to what? There it is again, deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Against who? Verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camps of the saints. He's going to be loosed out of his prison for a little while. He's going to travel the whole earth and convince mankind, those who haven't trusted Christ, that Christians are the enemy. Sound familiar? For 1,000 years, man's lived in peace, perfect justice, perfect conditions, no sickness, the curse is gone, and yet the devil still manages to deceive mankind into thinking that he should fight against God's children. But this war is quite different than Armageddon. I call this the shortest war in history, because it says they compass the saints. So they surround Jerusalem, and there's no fighting. It says fire comes down from God and devours them. War over. Nobody has to fight. And yet the devil managed to deceive mankind Thank the Lord that's not us, because we will already be in our glorified bodies. But the millions and billions of people that will be on the earth, he'll manage to deceive a lot of them into saying, let's fight against those pesky Christians. And God brings down fire and burns them up. I think it's just God's last declaration of how wicked we really are. That with the absence of the devil, with the absence of the curse, with Jesus ruling and reigning, a perfect system of government, perfect rule, one language, the world will be exactly what everybody's been wanting, man will still rebel. And it just shows how wicked our hearts really are, doesn't it? And it just should make us that much more thankful that we are saved, that we found Christ as wicked sinners. And so God will just devour them, verse 9, the war is over, and then immediately the devil is then cast into the lake of fire for good, and it's over. And we don't have time to go into it, but after this, God burns up the earth and starts over. And who knows what happens after that? We get to be there, whatever it is, after we've just spent 1,000 years on earth with Jesus. We get to be there for what comes next. I don't know what that is, but it'll be exciting. But 1,000 years. Now, I'll just take 2 minutes and step over into the speculation thing. Mark will love this from our classes. But God mentions 1,000 years 6 times. And he promises that the earth will have a Sabbath. So wouldn't it be interesting if, sure enough, the 7th 1,000-year period was the millennial kingdom? It would fit, wouldn't it? That's total speculation. And we don't know when Jesus was crucified. We don't know the exact date. But wouldn't it be fascinating if there were 4,000 years of human history up to the cross and 2,000 years after, and then the 7th 1,000-year period would be the kingdom? It would fit. May not necessarily be true, and it really doesn't have to be true, but one thing for sure, Jesus is coming back. And he's going to blow that trumpet. He's going to take us to be with him. And after we get to be with him for that short time in heaven, we get to come back and enjoy this 1,000 years. You know, that's the one thing that the Jehovah's Witnesses get right. They pretty much have everything wrong. But the one thing they have right is that there's going to be a kingdom on earth. And it's going to be a wonderful kingdom. That's the one thing they got right. Now, how to be part of that kingdom, they got wrong, of course. And they have everything else wrong about the person of Christ. But they do have that one thing, that there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom on earth. It's real. It's not a spiritual thing. This is a real, literal kingdom on earth for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ. And so I would just say, are you sure you're going to be there? There's only one way to be there, and that's to get your name in that book of life. That's it. There's no other way. You must admit you're a sinner. You must admit that your sins have condemned you to hell, and realize that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, paid for your sins at Calvary, rose again from the dead, and offers you eternal life. And ask him to save you. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save. And he wants to save everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that everyone be saved. But that's up to us, isn't it? We must come to him to be saved. And if you have had your name written in the book of life, then this is what you have to look forward to. 1,000 years with Jesus on earth. Won't that be wonderful? No sickness. Imagine that. How wonderful that will be. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful